The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by you. We're seeking sponsors to support our mission to share the stories, passions, and personalities of the people shaping Boulder's unique tech scene. If you'd like to be part of this project and reach a growing and enthusiastic audience, shout at us via Twitter at Boulder Tech Cast or send me a note at joel@dojo4.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have two guests for episode 58, John Schaefer, the creative director, and Matt Schaefer, the web app developer for Radio Rethink. They are the co-founders of the company. It's a project conceived to move community and micro-community radio into the spotlight of the mobile media landscape. Community radio and eclectic music programming are big passions shared by the brothers Schaefer and myself. And thus, we geek out about the purpose and function of Radio Rethink, how community and public radio stations are already benefiting greatly from the service, what motivates the Schaefers to provide Radio Rethink at such a low cost, and how, for all their bells and whistles and billion-dollar budgets, titans like Spotify, Apple Music, etc., don't compare to the deep crates and cultural knowledge of an adventurous, low-budget, volunteer-powered community radio station. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Radio Rethink's John Schaefer and Matt Schaefer. To get started, let's identify the voices. First, we've got John Schaefer here on my left. Say hello, John.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Hey, it's me, Matt Schaefer.
And that's Matt Schaefer on my right, jumping the gun. In the interest of full disclosure, I've known Matt and John for 20-something years, and I met John through community radio here at KGNU, and I've been involved in community radio for almost 30 years, and like John and Matt, a huge fan and proponent of community radio. I am still heavily involved at KGNU. I am a programmer also for Radio Rethink, so there's that.
Yeah, and actually, I only knew about you at KGNU for the full backstory for anyone keeping notes, but I met you at Go Gaga, which was the first internet radio station to feature live DJs in like the 90s.
Yes.
Which is practically the 1800s at this point.
Right. The 1890s. So John and Matt and I go way back in terms of radio and love for community radio and unique music programming. And so I'm a little biased when it comes to Radio Rethink, but I also believe that it's a really cool and important service, and so here we are talking about it. So tell us, what is Radio Rethink?
Radio Rethink is a number of things, but at the core of all of it, it is a mobile-friendly player for community and public radio. If you had to boil it down to an elevator pitch for Radio Rethink, I think it would be like, how easy is it for you to allow your listeners to tune into your station, not by radio? Do you think there's any value in people accessing your station without a radio? And if you do, then we'll help you do that. And basically, we'll do that for free, basically for free, because we love it. But if you don't think that that's important, then we need to go on another elevator ride, because the reality is you have to start thinking about the new audience of listening, and that is not just radio. Not radio in your car, not radio in your house. It's people with phones. So if you don't take that seriously, and you don't take it seriously that your transmitter goes down, and that could be your server coming out of your station, then you have to change your mindset about where community radio fits in the landscape of your location. Because a lot of people in your location only access media through mobile devices.
I would break it down a little more in a short version, but just because my understanding is that I'm not really a radio guy, I'm a programmer. Radio is just one way I listen to music. And so I would go to the station and say, have you ever had anyone who said, I'm having trouble tuning in on the internet to listen to your station? Does that happen to you? Or, Do you ever have to deal with those problems yourself internally? Like, what do you do? And we don't really have a way with technology to solve that. So we just have a little simple system. You hit the button and the music plays. And for a lot of people, that's good enough.
So basically, you have a player, you have a simple web app that you can sort of skin up for any community or public station with their branding, logo, and all that sort of stuff, and make it very easy for their listeners and listeners anywhere with access to the internet to listen to their station.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And there's no charge to the listeners to listen to this.
It's a donation only, and we're pretty soft about asking for it.
So you're providing this service for donation only to the stations. The stations are providing the service to their listeners really at no charge, hoping to, you know, of course, build memberships and get donations by expanding the audience. And is there any evidence of that happening?
Oh, definitely. Like, people really rely on like a way to tune in. And so now that you use our system, we have a responsibility to have it be there. You click the button and it always goes. It works on your phone. It works while you're on the road. You know, so people are definitely seeing value. They've even asked stations, say, hey, this is great. I can tune in. I have your app. People are looking for an experience to come back over and over, the same interface, and it feels like an app to them. So they enjoy using it.
Have stations seen growth in their listenership, either in general or on mobile devices specifically? Yeah. Like, we see that time and time again when a new station comes on, because suddenly the barrier is reduced.
Probably the interesting point on that is that we have a way, a simple way to track if people come back via saving it to their device as a homepage link or a shortcut. And traffic that we receive via shortcut is probably about 25%. So a lot of people coming back, once they see it, they get a little message to prompt them that says, hey, save this. Here's how you do it on your device. And people do it, and they come back because there's a little image, a little tile. It kind of looks like an app. You hit the button, and you're in.
Yeah, and that's ultimately for listeners. All they want is an easier way to tune in to the station that they love. And so that, you know, maybe that's the elevator pitch, is that's kind of what we provide. We make it really easy for the people who want to tune into your station to get there. And then what we see through the stats that we track is that people will add it to their device. So there's a little icon on their device and they can go to it really quickly. And that the number of people who add that little home screen icon to their device goes up and up and up over time as soon as they've sort of integrated our player.
And then there is the concept of app fatigue, which I don't think the cool kids are talking about right now, but think about how many times you see a thing, you're like, oh, if you want to get our schedule and get the quickest way in for this class, then use our app. You're kind of like, oh. In reality, people ask a lot, like, how do I get an app for my station? Like, you don't really need one. You kind of have one. That's all you need. Like, fill this simple interface that people don't have to download anything. It doesn't take any space on their phone. They just go to URL and has an app-like experience. It's added a lot of benefit for a lot of stations there.
How long have you been doing this?
It'll be technically 5 years in January.
Of 2020, for those of you listening, well into the future.
Hello, the future.
Hello, great beyond.
So you started about 5 years ago, and how many stations are using the Radio Rethink app?
I would say 22, maybe 24.
So 20 to 25.
Yeah, but interestingly enough, the number isn't so insignificant in our case. Specifically, there are some stations that use a lot more of our, you know, of our system because of their high listenership. Like, some radio broadcasts that are just listened to like by hundreds of thousands of people. It's amazing to see.
Hundreds of thousands of people are streaming programming coming through Radio Rethink.
No, sorry, to be more specific, our tool is used by stations that are simply using us as a tune in with some supporting stuff like playlists and like live updates to a web page. But with high traffic, like New York City, New Jersey metro area for WFMU uses our system. We're not sharing their numbers, but they have an incredible audience. And they use our tool because the feedback has been good. And they think it's a simple system and it does what they do. You know, they like it.
Okay, so you've got this really cool, simple web app that stations can easily adapt to their own site, their own look and feel and programming, and they pay you basically by donation.
Yeah, for sure. Right now, and we have a Patreon, and especially when there's a new station now, we ask for a donation just to start, just be like, hey, to keep the infrastructure solid, we need to start with a donation. That's how we do it. Let us know if you can make that work. And it's a pretty soft pitch, you know. Like, so we take a look at the market and the space around the station, and sometimes you can see some of the stats and then make a pitch, you know. It's like, hey, sometimes you may say, yeah, I want 15, maybe I want 20. We're not asking for much.
Right, because these stations are all on a shoestring budget, so yeah. Any spend is a big deal, but this is something that for $20 a month, they're getting a pretty big return.
Well, the reality is that Matt is an incredible programmer, and he probably won't go in depth about how good he is, but they're getting an incredibly robust, battle-tested code that can handle, for example, the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, where it's getting hammered by listenership, and it just doesn't blink. And so those kind of things that we saw those go down, and we said, okay, KOTO and Telluride, or KOTO, we'll do it. We'll do the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. Like, I think it can handle it. And we saw how much it could handle. And that kind of opened the door for, like, approaching WFMU and say, like, look, it can do it. This is good enough. So the reality is, for $20 a month for the stations who are at that level, and Matt has an algorithm that determines what cost, just like bare basic cost, it costs us so that we don't have to just fund it ourselves. They're getting like code they couldn't quite ever attain for their station. And a lot of those are, you know, there's a lot of really small stations that use this code and they get a lot of value out of it. But the reality is, I don't know what kind of grant they would have to land to get something similar. And here we are just saying, would you like to take it?
I will counter that by humbly saying it's more really a proof of concept that worked really well the first go round. From the guy who makes it, the developer's perspective, is had some best practices and got a little lucky, but it'd be awesome to have better security, better system, better performance, and redundancy.
Point counterpoint, as a programmer out there, if you had a pretty established concept that you worked up and then proved it, and it was, as it turns out, really great, then it is technically a proof of concept, and yet it's also the concept to go with. So not being a programmer, but understanding a little bit about it, this guy's being humble, and, you know, that's ridiculous.
I'm not a satellite provider.
But you've built this proof of concept, this app, an MVP, sure. and the MVP was kind of an MVP.
Turns out.
That's pretty good.
Luck of the draw, and then luck of the draw benefits
but
public,
you know,
and community radio.
You make your luck. So I guess, you know, this all brings up the question, you're doing this for community radio as a service. You're really not making any money. And it's great that you can do it. Why would you do it in the first place? Why aren't you selling this to big, huge Clear Channel types or iHeartRadio or whatever they are now, stations, and instead... Why are you guys doing this Robin Hood thing?
We believe that public and community radio presents the most unique and interesting content of any other outlet on the planet daily through the hard work of every single volunteer and staff member who toils in the world of community public radio. It's the greatest content, but in some ways it's the hardest to access. And so for us to in any way help get that out is worth it. And we've turned down commercial radio stations who have contacted us because we put it up there. It's for community and public radio stations. There's some college stations who use it because they're really cool stations and they really wanted it. So we did it.
And but, a station in Canada.
Right. But the reality is that we're self-funding it, and does it lose money monthly? Maybe. But there's no way we're going to lose money putting out the material that commercial radio is putting out, helping them get that out there. sorry, you guys are doing what you do and I'm sure you love it. But the other side of the coin is some incredible stuff that's not getting the audience it deserves.
So you basically, it's a labor of love. You love the programming and the content. You want to see it out there, and that's why you do it. And Matt, you do it because you sit at a computer all day programming and you want something good to listen to.
Yeah, not only that, but honestly, like, I get oddly energized when I see a station that is part of our little network, like in person, and get a tour, meet the DJs, meet the manager, and like, this is so great. You know, they're like, hey, we love your thing. They like receive me as a more or less like
a VIP for sure.
VIP, like happy traveler treatment guy. And like, it's happened more than once, maybe four times already. This is why I do this. But to John's point, more of a radio minded guy, I get to see that what I saw firsthand at KGNU, but replicated in another town, maybe another smaller town, but like the same concept. And that's why it's important. You see that in person. You're like, oh, that's why I do it.
Because of the people. And why, you know, I mean, there's community radio. It's been around for a long time. It's faced its challenges and it's still kind of hanging in there. But Spotify has all the music, right?
Well, the reality of those other services versus community radio is that community radio has deeper crates than Spotify will ever have. You may not like it all, but if you don't even know it exists, how can you make up your mind? And the reality is, Frank Zappa said that. The thing is that you're always going to find more outside of your comfort level through community radio. Even if you latch onto a specific show, like maybe blues is your thing, and you find like the best blues show, like KDHX in St. Louis, who uses our player, have some amazing blues shows, as they should in St. Louis. For the love of Pete.
And hockey.
But a national following at KDHX, the spread of their listeners is phenomenal to see. Like, wow.
Just from where they're tuning in from?
Yeah, the entire U.S., everyone's like, we're tuning in to KDHX. It's amazing.
Which is actually, we should probably take a moment to note that we're talking about the end-use player that the users use, but there's an incredible amount of tools that help the stations in terms of like figuring out where their listenership is coming from, using underwriting tools that are built into it. There's all these stats that they can track and figure out what's going on in terms of like, well, we didn't know that our blues show was incredibly popular because they just couldn't parse logs and things like that. We provide a lot of that stuff. And going back to the music side of it is that you could listen to Spotify and love blues and only hone in Spotify for blues. But if you spent the same amount of time listening to any community radio station, you're going to find out more about that or hip hop or ragtime or polka, whatever fringe thing you want to dig into, you're going to find so much more than you could possibly find through Apple Music or any of this stuff.
Well, music snobs that we are, we know that. I think a lot of people, they go to Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, and it is good enough. Pandora's playing my same, you know, I love all 25 of those songs that it plays for me over and over again. I think the thing that really sets it apart, though, community radio from the streaming services, is just simply that there's human beings involved, and they're selecting music based on a feeling as much as the sound. There's both of those things happening.
It's true. It could be what
it serves a great Spotify. I have a subscription. I listen to it a fair amount. It's great for certain things, for listening to what I know I want to listen to or sampling a bunch of stuff. But if I want to get turned on to something really new and different and strange and outside of my comfort zone, I am not turning to my Discover Weekly for that.
Segue from Spotify, though, you have community radio providing a possibly a track that you can't find on Shazam, or
exactly,
you're like, wait, what? Because there's more music than the algorithms can deal with. When that happens to me, I try it maybe one more time. I'm like, well, maybe I made a mistake, connection, and then it's like a sense of pride that my ear was like, what was that? And like, I can't find it. Yes,
right.
Like, that's a bummer. Maybe I'll never find it, but That's
like, at least I was drawn to something
that means there's gold there.
Nobody, yeah, very few know about. Right, right. Exactly.
You got to keep panning, yes, for a little bit more. Yeah. And when you find some unshazamable, right, it's like, I would also add to that, that if it's your community, you're hearing people reacting to what's happening in your community. So sometimes you'll hear tracks that are about something that happened in the community, whether it's like a protest about a particular thing or just about the weather. It's really cool to hear your own local community reflected back to you by different voices.
And in a lot of those cases, if you're drawn to that and you have something you want to express, you can also just go down to that station and show up and volunteer. And in most of those cases, there will be a way for you to do that.
True. And then people will hear you through the Radio Rethink app.
Yes. So what's the future for Radio Rethink? You've had a, you know, basically a very successful, well-received MVP, so to speak. And things are going along. You've got a solid stream. You've got, listenership's building. The stations are happy, but you guys aren't making any money, you know, and at some point, do you see this continuing forever in its current iteration, or do you see yourselves stepping away from your day jobs to step fully into Radio Rethink? What's happening?
Definitely not the latter.
we both have shirts on right now that says don't quit your day job.
Yeah.
They do.
There's a point where it is such a labor of love and it pulls into our own lives that we're pouring our souls into it a little bit, that occasionally the thought comes up like, you know what, I'm just gonna shut this whole thing down. That thought crosses the mind, and so what we need to do is probably get some larger funding, expand the funding to it. I think that the reality is that the what it does for people is so much greater than any frustration that we feel from it and the lack of money, because it's never been about trying to make money from it, that it's maybe it's always going to be there. I don't know. We can't go on record saying that right now, can we?
I don't think so. Just because just a couple of days ago, I was like, why am I doing this? But it comes and goes. That's a good thing, I think, to question it. The idea isn't that I'll ever be a moneymaker. If it turned into a gig, that would be incredible. But that's not really the goal. It's just like have something sustainable, you know, that pays for itself and like keeps a staff of people that are keeping their eye on it. Because it's a service. When you hit the button, the music has to play. And if it doesn't, it comes back on us. I mean, that's a big responsibility for huge stations. So their stream, and they can't handle that bandwidth, but we have to be the face of the listener. And it has to be reliable.
I know it's just you two on Radio Rethink. If anyone listening to this podcast were inspired, intrigued, interested in getting involved somehow, is that something you would be open to?
I think we'd be certainly interested in hearing from anybody who was interested in that. I mean, given the
problem. We can start with hearing from anybody.
Right. We're hired.
We've already laid down the groundwork that. Yeah, this would be like the worst job to apply for, right? There's going to be no money. You might get frustrated and want to throw in the towel and completely can the thing. But on the other side, being a talented programmer or being a talented angel investor or something, you know, there's something really good on the other side of it. And so that is kind of inspiring. And I could get in touch. It's radiorethink.com. And if you want a soundtrack while you listen to it, you could tune into any one of the stations that we have as a player.
I would say, feel free to lend a hand.
Yes, yeah. In any way that feels right.
We could use some help, sure.
It is a community kind of project. Anything else that you'd like to...
I think one more thing we should get on tape here is like a win, like a clear win, which we didn't talk about, I don't think, was beyond being a player, the we didn't talk about underwriting, which is okay, but like in regards to KOTO, we're talking about Telluride Bluegrass, a huge festival, massive traffic, and they were using our tuner, so they asked us, can we use the tuner for your festival? And we're like, yeah, I think so, yeah, I think we're ready. Kind of a big commitment, and made it happen. And they also use a module that allows them to put like a pre-roll before every listener, as well as the option for advertisements at certain times. But the pre-roll is basically from people who are tuning in all around the country, all around the world. They may know KOTO, but they don't know maybe their station or how to donate. So they do a pre-roll that would do like a summary of the day and break down the schedule and the times and a quick blurb on a, hey, here's how to donate. And they saw like a 33%, I think it was, increase once we started using our underwriting module, yeah.
A lot of stats that people bring up are just made up, but I think it was actually higher than that.
Really?
Yeah, they saw a tremendous amount of increase in fundraising. People love to tune into the KOTO Telluride Bluegrass Festival. And a lot of those people just maybe just didn't get it that they actually should donate.
Yeah, that they were giving it away. Like, yeah. FYI, they were definitely weren't pushing it.
Yeah, and so this increase was they used the tool, that, as Matt's mentioning, there's these underwriting tools that the stations can use to promote themselves and try and raise funds. And we showed them how to do it. We showed them how it works, and they got it all set up in advance. And when they rolled it out, they just saw it. A huge increase from the previous year.
To clarify though, like pre-roll is like a radio term, I guess. So like what it really means is you go to the tune-in page for KOTO and find it somewhere, there's a play button, you hit it, and the first time you tune in, it plays a message for you.
Right.
And then it there's no nagware after that for as long as you're active and listening.
It's the community radio equivalent of the ad before the YouTube video.
Yes, exactly.
So this is a labor of love for you guys. You're doing this for the stations, and it's a solid player, and it works great. But it's also, again, you're just asking these stations for a donation, and they are, at least in some cases, really maximizing this player and benefiting from it and growing their listenership and their donor base and just their revenue.
Yeah, and that's a
huge thing in this day and age when it's such a struggle for independent media.
In the case of that Bluegrass Festival, it was to the tune of like thousands of extra dollars that they absolutely needed to have for their tiny budget, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, for Matt and I, very gratifying to know that because we made these tools, because this player existed, that we were able to kind of donate to that station in a way that financially we couldn't, at a level that we could never do. And sort of we're, I guess, Johnny Appleseeding it around the country that way.
Even better, though, like at a time that they needed it, like they didn't know.
A pretty valuable tool, and it's having impacts on communities and keeping radio alive for a lot of people on the internet.
Maybe we should let people know how they could access the site.
Yeah. But you didn't talk about the stream at all.
I think it's okay.
I mean, like anyone who comes past this gem of a podcast should know that there's also music to be listened to. And Joel, the host, has mixes on it.
Yeah, so you're providing this great service, you know, amplifying the transmissions of a couple dozen, at least, community stations across the country and even into Canada. But that's not all, right? I mean, in addition to accessing all of these various stations, Radio Rethink itself has its own little, not little, its own considerable stream of music playing with lots of DJs contributing.
Yeah, it's little though.
So there's a lot to listen to.
It is little. I mean, it's just we were talking about the underwriting tools. We're talking about all the tools we provide, and one of them is a larger concept that you can tune into right now that we're working on to create a way for stations to be able to raise and fund themselves in even a larger way. But if you want to listen in behind the lab, you just go to radiorethink.com/listen. And if you want to learn more about Radio Rethink, you just go to radiorethink.com and you can click on the Eclectic channel or the Reggae channel and tune into the outskirts of music that maybe no one cares about, but that we think is awesome. And that is coming to a radio station near you in the future. Whether it's soul and funk from Southeast Asia as a show, or you know, reggae, dub. There's all kinds of unusual things.
Tiki sounds.
Oh, yeah. The lost vintage Hawaiian classics as its own show. I mean, there's a whole cumbia show, La Máquina de Cumbia, the greatest
show. If there's only a polka show.
Yeah, that's true. The hot polka death trap every Friday night from 11 to 12.
So there's a lot to listen to there, a lot of variety, and a lot of it you're definitely not going to hear on your commercial radio station. Your community station, depending on where you are, have a decent shot at it there. Spotify. In my experience, mapping my playlist to Spotify, I got about a 70% success rate, which, you know, is a C, which when I was in school, I was like, yeah. But now, for music, not sufficient.
C was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought.
Anything else before we wrap up this episode?
I would only say that if you've listened this far, like, wow. Thanks for listening to this. And if you're seriously, as Joel mentioned before, if you want to get involved, we would love it.
John Schaefer and Matt Schaefer from Radio Rethink, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That was John Schaefer and Matt Schaefer, co-founders of Radio Rethink. Learn more and listen to some amazing music at RadioRethink.com and follow them on Twitter at Radio Rethink. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at Glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's ECCODEK. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.